This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Yesterday, we spoke to a Malaysian lawyer on the legal aspects of Cyril's extradition case from the Malaysian side, right? But what we found was that a lot of the process and the decisions will have to come from the Australian side. So we got in touch with an Australian extradition law expert, Emeritus Professor Ivan Scherer.
Well, extradition is the normal process between countries whereby a person who has committed a crime or is alleged to have committed a crime in one country and goes to another can be sent back to face trial or, as in this case, where someone has already been tried and convicted but has somehow or other managed to escape can be sent back to serve the sentence that has been imposed upon him or her. Now, this present case is one that falls to be determined under Australia's extradition laws as amplified by the terms of the bilateral extradition treaty between Malaysia and Australia. Now, both the law of Australia and indirectly the terms of the treaty forbid the extradition by Australia of someone who is subject to the death penalty. Now, the provisions of the treaty are sort of a little bit roundabout in that way. If I could just read it, it's short. It says, the treaty, this is, in cases where a person could be subject to capital punishment in the requesting party, that's Malaysia, but would not be subject to capital punishment in the requested party, that's Australia, for the same offence under the laws of the requested party, no request for extradition shall be submitted without prior consultation and agreement by both parties to make such a request. Disentangling that, it really means that in the light of Australia's well-known policy against the death penalty and its inability indeed under its laws to extradite to another country or even to deport where there is a danger of the death penalty, that means before submitting the request, Malaysia would have to give a written assurance to Australia that if returned, Mr. Cyril would not, in fact, be executed, but would be given an alternative sentence, a long period of imprisonment in that case.
And this is where it gets dicey, because he has a co-accused who is also facing the death penalty here in Malaysia. Yes. So if he cuts a deal, there would be an imbalance there.
Yes, I can understand that argument, and it would appear to be unfair that one person is to be executed, but the other, because he managed to get to a country which doesn't apply the death penalty, he can only go back if the sentence is commuted to imprisonment. I can quite see that difficulty, but I think the difficulty remains. It's really unavoidable.
So if a deal is not reached to perhaps change his sentence, what then happens to Cyril? Is he detained or is he deported from Australia?
Well, that's a knotty problem. If Malaysia says no, we won't give that assurance that if he is returned, his sentence of death will be commuted. Well, then Mr. Cyril is stuck in Australia, and then Australia would have to deal with him under its immigration laws, and presumably it would not be very happy to have Mr. Cyril, with the allegations that have been made against him, as a sort of a permanent resident. Nor would it be really a very fair thing to keep him locked up. I mean, strictly speaking, I suppose Australia could say to Mr. Cyril, well, you're not welcome in this country, but we're not going to send you back to Malaysia. So, you just buy a plane ticket to anywhere else and goodbye. But then the question would arise, well, where could Mr. Cyril go? He would obviously carefully avoid countries that could extradite him, notwithstanding the death penalty. But I think that lies ahead. Frankly, I think probably the only realistic solution is for Malaysia to agree to the terms of his surrender and not to carry out the death penalty, however uncomfortable that is for the Malaysian government, bearing in mind what you've just said.
So Australia would not stop Mr. Stirrell from leaving the country?
Well, it will. It is stopping him because he's in detention at the moment. It's unclear whether he's in detention because his visa has run out or he's in detention because the Interpol has put out a red notice.
Right.
Perhaps I should explain what an Interpol red notice is. Interpol is the International Criminal Police Organization. It has its headquarters in Paris. The police forces of most countries are members of that organization. And it has a system whereby if a person is wanted in one member country and has fled, then they can apply to Interpol to have what is called a red notice issued. Now, this red notice would go to all other countries in the world, and it means that as soon as he is found, he should be arrested immediately, awaiting the formal request of extradition. Now, I think there's a time limit on that. I haven't got the exact wording in front of me, but I think it's 4 weeks or 30 days or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And if the formal request for extradition is not forthcoming, well, then that person has to be released. But then, of course, there's an immigration issue. It's quite a separate immigration issue on top of that. Now, that means that puts some pressure on Malaysia. It will either... It has to issue a formal extradition request of Australia, and it would have to be accompanied by this declaration, this assurance that it would not carry out the death penalty, that it would executively commute. And so the clock is ticking.
Definitely. Professor Sherrod, can you remember or recall any previous cases that are similar to this one, or is this a precedent here?
No, it's not. There have been some cases. I can't recall the exact ones, but I think there have been some cases, a few cases in the past. The reason why they're not all well known, I mean, this case is a particularly
high-profile case.
But you see, it's normally the Attorney General's office that decides on a case by, you know, whenever a request is made for extradition and a death penalty is involved, the Attorney General's office would simply say, well, you know, we can't do that unless you give an assurance. It probably doesn't get before the courts and therefore doesn't get into the newspapers. But I'm sure it has happened before.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's exactly my next question, actually. I was wondering who makes the final decision?
In the first instance, it stays in the Attorney General's office.
Okay.
It's up to the discretion of the Attorney General. But in this case, the Attorney General has no real discretion because the law requires him not to issue a warrant which would then go before the courts unless the requesting government has made the assurance that the death penalty would not be carried out. If that happens, then it goes before the courts in the ordinary way just to see that all the other conditions of the extradition request are satisfied.
That was Emeritus Professor Ivan Scherer, who's a retired professor of international law at University of Sydney in Australia. He's also an expert on Australian extradition law, and that was his take on the status of Cyril's extradition case. I'm Melissa Idris for BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.